Please lower your head and watch your step while boarding.
Welcome to the Attractions Podcast. You are all clear for dispatch. Have fun.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to episode 63 of the Attractions Podcast. I'm Brittany.
And I'm Seth.
And we are here to talk to you about the latest and greatest theme park news and more, as well as what's going on in our own lives. Seth, how was your Thanksgiving?
I had a fantastic holiday. Thank you so much for asking. I had a very moderate amount of turkey with all of the side dishes, because we all know Thanksgiving is really about the side dishes.
Oh, yeah.
And we did it at a friend's house in their very large backyard. There are only five people, and we were all sat at separate tables. So I feel safe, especially since a few days before that, since I've been out visiting a lot of the theme parks for the holiday events, I decided to go and get my very first COVID test.
Ooh, a first.
I came back 48 hours later, negative. Yay. And it really was not as bad as I feared. I did a drive-through at the CVS pharmacy. Oh. It's free. I got a same-day appointment on about an hour's notice. And it is not a lot of fun sticking a Q-tip up your nose. But I've been through worse. So it was worth it to have peace of mind to at least know for that period of time I was or am COVID-free. And made me feel a little better going and seeing other people for Thanksgiving.
So. I have not done that yet, mostly because I haven't seen anyone since March. But
yeah,
If you're
staying in and isolating, then great. But if like me, you have to go out and see people, it gave me a little peace of mind.
Yeah.
What did you do for your turkey day?
Well, we just made dinner. It's just Josh, myself, and Brody. We had a vegan Guardian holiday loaf. And I got to tell you, even if you are not plant-based as a person, this is so good. It's like marinated tofu that's breaded. And in the middle is stuffing and gravy. And then you put gravy on top. And it's all plant-based and it is delicious. I know you're doubting me. I can sense it.
we are big fans of plant-based proteins in our house. Maybe not on Thanksgiving, but I got to ask, what was Brody's reaction? Was he begging for leftovers?
Yeah, no, he tried the whole time to get our leftovers. Awesome. I think he might have gotten a little mashed potatoes. he had like a little bit on his face that I thought he got into, but we also had two kinds of pie. So that's what really matters. Yeah. Chocolate, pecan, and pumpkin. So
in my household, we've given up on the pumpkin because we all feel obligated, but no one really enjoys it.
What?
We do the apple pie and we do lemon, off the lemons in our tree, in our backyard. But, pumpkin, we've save the pumpkin for the spiced lattes. That's what I say.
I am pro pumpkin pie. I will state that now.
All right.
Yeah.
Well, you are obviously more American than I am.
Well, without further ado, let's get into the news. I almost clicked on the goat screaming by accident.
No.
I barely stopped myself. First up, this is just a quick thing I wanted to talk about, but it was a sad day in the theme park community last week. Almost a week to the day tomorrow, when you're listening to this on our audio version, Joe Rohde announced his retirement from Walt Disney Imagineering. Break out the tiny violins.
This is a tough one because he's kind of the last of the name brand Imagineers. You know, there was a time where there were lots of people like Bob Gurr and Ex Atencio and Mark Davis that you could, you know, name. And Now it's there's a lot of talented younger people working there, but very few who are the kind of superstars who've had the kind of career that Joe Rohde has. And everything going back to the Adventurers Club through Pandora and even Guardians of the Galaxy out in California Adventure. Which could have been an awful idea, and he helped make something that's actually really good. He's had a great track record. It saddens me to think that the Yeti no longer has an advocate at Imagineering.
We're
He
never
will
gonna
never
get
get fixed now. I mean, I really hope he enjoys his retirement, that he's able to travel and do some of the artistic things that I know he's into that he probably hasn't had time for. I also hope Disney's smart enough to hire him back as a consultant when some projects get back up in a year or two.
Retweet.
And I am jealous of anyone who can afford to purchase some stuff in the virtual garage sale he's holding on eBay.
Yeah, if you didn't know, Rhodey's Garage Sale is a new account up on eBay, auctioning off various pieces from his collection. So if you've got money to blow, consider blowing it here.
There's an authentic tribal mask on there, going for just under $1,000 right now, and I'm sure by the time you listen to this, it'll be even higher. But it looks very much like a mask that used to be on the wall of the Adventurers Club, and I wouldn't be surprised if it wasn't one of his inspirations for that. I would love to have that in my house, but I don't think that's in the budget.
It would go great. We have like a little tiki bar in our house that would go so well with all of the theming we have over there. But that 900 is a lot. I could buy a lot of snacks with that.
But if you do have some money to burn, it's for a good cause, the Support Joe Rohde Foundation. Thank you for all the wonderful projects you've given us over the years,
Yes.
and look forward to seeing what you do. He's not that old. He's only 65.
Which he doesn't look it at all.
No, and
No.
I'm sure he's got plenty of more things to do ahead of him.
Oh yeah. I think the one like oddly sad thing I thought about when I saw this was like now those Adventure by Disney trips to Africa that he would lead are no more. I could never afford to do one of those, but I've always wanted to. Next up, do you guys remember that drone show from Disney Springs a
I
few
sure
years ago?
do. I really enjoyed that.
I did too. Well, if you live near select Walmart locations, you can catch a similar show in the parking lot for free or watch it as it's streamed online.
There are all sorts of sketchy things that go down in Walmart parking lots. I think this is no. Actually, I don't think most of these are actually in Walmart parking lots. They're at locations like Six Flags
Yes, the Six Flags Fiesta
and
Texas.
King's Dominion. So there's a raceway, and so even a drive-in in Arkansas. It's branded by Walmart, but I don't believe that that means that you necessarily have to shop at a Walmart in order to attend. I remember seeing the Intel drone show that they did at Disney Springs a few years ago, and it was really just
So
spectacular.
cool.
Amazing technology, and I'm sure the technology has even improved over the last couple of years. I'm jealous of the people who get to see this in person, but it's cool that they will be streaming it live online for free, and that's going to be on Saturday, December 5th.
Yep, at 7:40 p.m. Eastern Time, you can reserve a free ticket at walmartdroneshow.com if there are any left. It's been a few days since we wrote this up. But once you sign up, you get a QR code to put in your car's windshield if you're going in person. And otherwise, you can check out their Facebook, Instagram, and TikTok to catch it live.
Tick that they're really hip.
I didn't know you could go live on TikTok, but I'm also
I have
not on
no idea.
TikTok, so
Me
that's
neither.
beyond me. That's for the Zoomers. This I'm super excited about. The Academy Museum of Motion Pictures in LA, the long-awaited museum, has finally gotten Bruce. And he's all pretty
Bruce.
And fixed up.
Bruce. Oh, no, wait. Wrong Bruce.
And he looks incredible. Now, if you don't know, when they filmed Jaws, they had a few molds for the shark. They all deteriorated and were lost to time, except for this fiberglass shark that was from Universal Studios Hollywood and eventually made its way to a junkyard in California.
So it's pretty cool. It's not only a piece of movie history, but also theme park history.
And they scooped him up, rescued him, fixed him up, repainted him, and had Greg Nicotero help on it, who, if you don't know who that is, he is a famous makeup artist. He worked on The Walking Dead. He's done stuff with Horror Nights before. And now he hangs inside of the museum. They had to take a wall out to crane him in there.
Yeah. And the neat thing is, I believe this is kind of hanging over the lobby, so people can enter and see him for free, even if they haven't bought a ticket to the museum.
I think this is an escalator right here. So you're like approaching him.
Yeah. Dun-dun, 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 dun-dun.
Well, if you want to know what he looked like before, he was a bit crusty, as you can tell.
Yeah, he needed some help. They definitely did a great job refurbishing him. I am excited to finally, someday in 2021,
right?
be able to visit the Los Angeles area again, and visiting this museum is definitely high on my list to do when I make it back out to the West Coast.
Their opening is going to be insane. Not only Bruce, but they're doing a temporary exhibit on Hayao Miyazaki, who I love. And then they are also going to have the Toy Story 3D Zoetrope that Pixar did for Toy Story 2.
It made me so happy to hear this, because this was my favorite thing of the animation exhibit at Disney's California Adventure. For the most part, that was kind of a pale copy of stuff that had been at the old Disney MGM studios. But this Zoetrope, which you can imagine it, it's a giant turntable with animated characters, maquettes, little models of the Toy Story characters, all in a big circle in different poses. And it just looks like a big sculpture when it's sitting still. But when you turn it at the right speed and you flash strobe lights at it at the right frequency, it turns into this amazing three-dimensional moving, creation. And I can remember going in and staring at that over and over every time I visit California Adventure. So it's great. It was removed to make room for a meet and greet for the Frozen princesses. And it's so good to know that it's going to be viewable to the public again.
I never got to see it in person, but me being the special features hound that I am, I watched it on the bonus features for the DVD for Toy Story 2 hundreds of times. And I really hope that they have like the button setup that they did at DCA, where you could push the button and it would go. I really hope that they have it functioning.
But in these days, maybe it'll be better just to have it on an automatic timer rather than people pressing a button.
Right. I forgot, touching things.
But I can't wait to see it spinning in it all its glory again.
Man, I can't wait for this museum to open. We got to get out there.
Yep.
This was a surprise. Last week, Disneyland announced that they were going to let you buy Avengers Campus merchandise early.
when you set the grand opening of a theme park land, a year in advance, you've got to manufacture those toys. They literally make it here on a very slow boat from China. Pandemic or not, there's merchandise sitting on the shelves that wants to be sold.
Yep.
So this is a way of, fans, let's call it a sneak preview. You're getting an advanced look at I guess these are sort of the things that we're going to be fighting with or fighting against in the Spider-Man attraction.
I think both of those are correct.
Yes. but they're awfully cute for a plastic robotic crab.
Yeah.
And they seem to be a little bit more interactive than the droids that you can make in Galaxy's Edge, which is a similar kind of remote-controlled toy idea. But these have some interactive features where you can battle against an opponent. So it's not enough to buy one. You're going to have to buy two for your kids.
We're going to start a Spider-Bot battle derby. In the streets of DCA. I wonder if they'll only be selling this Spider-Man colorway, because back when they announced these toys, they were going to have other versions inspired by Iron Man, Black Panther, Black Widow, Hulk, mm-hmm. the whole gang.
Yeah, I wouldn't be surprised if there's a whole line or even different customizable parts, sort of the same way they have customizable parts for the droids at... at Galaxy's Edge. So this is probably just the leading edge of the spear of the spider bots. One thing that disappoints me a little about this, it's only going to be available in person, as far as I know,
yeah.
at two locations, World of Disney and the Backlot store at California Adventure, which is right now part of downtown Disneyland. But, you know, we've seen a lot of issues with parking, with crowding, with long lines of people. It would, I think, especially with spiking COVID cases, it would be nice if they provided some sort of way that, you know, a lottery even, so you could go online and order one, even if you weren't able to, you know, if you didn't feel safe enough to go there in person.
Well, they have we have the technology. It's called Merch Pass on Shop Disney. They can do it if they want
they
to.
Can.
I wonder if they'll sell out, or if they will have their little run. They'll be available from November 30th, which is tomorrow if you're listening to the, or tomorrow if you're watching, today if you're listening to the audio version, through December 3rd, so just a little bit of a week. And then after that, who knows what will happen to them. So,
if you do manage to get one, please let us know how much you love it. And if it gets along well with your other Disney interactive toys, or if they start a war, like a crossover Marvel versus Star Wars.
I really want to see a video of them fighting. So if you could do that, tweet it at me. I would love to see it.
I think it could take out one of those BB-8s pretty easy.
Oh, for sure. You just take the head and then that it's just a ball at that point. Disneyland Paris shared a construction update for a retheme of their Studio Tram Tour attraction that is now going to be themed to Pixar's Cars, called Cars Route 66 Road Trip. Mm-hmm. We don't know a whole lot about this attraction, but they've started to build kind of a curio shop slash load station.
Yeah, with construction photos and concept art, you always got to use your imagination a little. But I will say this is not one of the more appealing pieces of concept art for an attraction entrance that they've released. If you're just listening to this, it's basically a big gray triangle. And it looks a little bit like driving along... U.S. highways, old mid-century modern rest stops that you might see along the highway. But there's at least in this rendering, there's almost no color. It's pretty much gray on gray. Doesn't have a lot of, there's nothing there that jumps out at me and says cars.
It says toll booth to me.
Yeah. it almost, if anything, it looks a lot more like the load station for the Incredicoaster over in California Adventure, but even more minimalist than that. There's definitely going to need a more of a weenie, some kind of marquee to make this attractive to guests. From what I understand, this attraction is basically a reskin of the old Studio Tram Tour, and is going to use the Catastrophe Canyon, but with new Cars theming. So, it's got potential, but this piece of concept art they put out is not making me book a trip to Paris.
Same. When I first saw the construction photo, I got excited because I saw that mid-century roofing, mm-hmm. and I was like,
"Oh, and I love that style.
And this is going to be great." And then you see the tchotchkes and all the stuff. Like, the Cars has some incredible, incredible in-world graphic design, and they've mm-hmm. made maps and postcards and all sorts of things for it. And then you get to the concept art, and it looks like a toll booth that you would see on the highway. So I really hope that I hope it's more interesting in person. I'll say that. Yeah. I will reserve judgment until it's finished, and then I will judge it.
I will say that they could pour gasoline on the whole thing and light it on fire, and it would still probably be better than the studio tram tour as I experienced it at that park a few years ago. The Paris studio tour made the MGM studio tour look like the Universal Hollywood studio tour.
Wow.
If you can follow that.
You've got some beef with the studio tour. We should have a podcast one day where we talk about bad park experiences. No, just kidding. That's a horrible idea. They'll hate us forever. This is huge for the local Orlando area. A train station is coming to Disney Springs that connects to Orlando International, Miami, West Palm, eventually Boca Raton. This is crazy.
Yeah. This is also, for those of us who have lived in Central Florida for a long time, this sounds familiar. There have been a lot of plans to bring rail connecting Orlando to Miami over the years. It was around when Rick Scott was governor instead of senator. The last I checked, this was actually supposed to be a Virgin train before Virgin pulled out of the project about a year ago. I think this could be fantastic for the region if it finally happens. They're saying that portions of it will be ready to go in 2022, which sounds amazingly ambitious. We can't get a theme park ride built in 24 months, so building an entire train, I want to see it. I'm curious to see how much it costs.
Ooh,
and
yeah.
If it is convenient and cost effective enough to get people to bypass the Magical Express. That's the big question mark in all this. Disney is obviously on board with this if they're giving them space at Disney Springs property in order to build the station. And then once people get there, they're going to have to get to their hotel or their theme park somehow. But Disney's, you know, has this partnership with Mears to run Magical Express, and that's been really successful at getting people to not rent a car and to stay on Disney property. If this is sort of competing with that, at least on the segment between the airport and Disney, the question is, where do Disney's loyalties lie?
Hmm. I wonder. I also wonder if, because I imagine that a bullet train looking thing is going to stick out like a sore thumb at Disney Springs.
You know, Disney Springs, they were supposed to build those overhead train platforms that people could walk on, like the High Line in New York City. And that was cut from the budget. And now we just have a couple just random structures like out near where Bongos used to be, that just sort of sit there. They're like staircases to nowhere.
Oh.
So, you know, maybe we stick with that theme you know, I'm all for bringing some kinetics to Disney Springs. A cool looking train going by overhead would be a great thing to see.
Yeah.
I'm also curious whether this is truly going to be a bullet train. Is it a high speed train, or is it closer to the kind of commuter rails that we're used to seeing?
Yeah, they were pretty vague in the release that I saw, mm-hmm. but everyone was using the same photo of like the yellow and black Brightline mm-hmm. bullet train. So I'm not sure.
Yeah. A whole lot of questions, but hopefully over the next couple of years, we'll know some answers.
I have never been on a train. I would like to.
You've never been on a train of any kind?
No.
Wow.
I'm from a small town.
Well, I mean, you've been on the railroad at Walt Disney World.
That doesn't
Doesn't count.
count.
I think everyone, you know, everyone should take an Amtrak for a nice long ride at some point. We did the auto train from Washington down to Orlando once,
Oh, wow.
and taken some other train rides. And it's definitely not the quickest way to go, and it's not necessarily that much cheaper than flying either. But you do get to see some great scenery.
That sounds very nice. Okay, my friends.
All right. I made sure that I watched the episode
Okay,
so that we
good.
could discuss this.
We
But
have.
if you have not, spoiler warnings.
Yes, for Mandalorian episode or chapter 13, The Jedi. If you have not watched it, please leave.
We
Or
love you, but go away.
go away. Because this, I have not seen a show spoiled so quickly on social media
Oh
since Game
my,
of Thrones final season.
I had to spend, you know, we couldn't watch it until the other day, and so I had 24 hours of just having to scroll through my feed. Anything that looked even vaguely related, I just, don't look, don't look, don't look. People.
Well, for those of you who were not aware, this episode was written and directed by Dave Filoni. So if you couldn't already tell, his fingerprints are all over this
Right.
thing.
And anyone who says, oh, Ahsoka wouldn't act like that or look like that, Dave Filoni created Ahsoka. So I don't want to hear any complaints on
That's
that.
his baby.
Yeah. What he says goes.
Let me give you an overview of what happens in the episode. So Mando and the baby travel to the forest planet Corvus, where Ahsoka Tano is confronting the magistrate of a town of Caladan and her lieutenant to divulge the magistrate's master's location. We don't know who the master is at this point. It's very Princess Mononoke versus the town leader type of deal, which, if you know Dave Filoni, he is a huge, huge fan of Princess Mononoke, and Ahsoka is very heavily inspired by that character. The next morning, Mando and the child arrive and are taken directly to the magistrate, who offers Mando a Beskar spear, solid Beskar spear, in exchange for killing Ahsoka. And he happens to be looking for her, so he was like, "Sure, where is she? I'll kill her." Wink, wink, wink. He eventually finds her. They fight for a little bit, and then he's like, "Wait, Bo-Katan sent me." And then she meets the child, and they communicate through the Force because he can't talk. And we find out he has a name.
You go ahead.
What?
Go ahead. Go
His
ahead.
name is Grogu. If you didn't know, he was born the same year as Anakin Skywalker, and he was raised and trained at the Jedi Temple on Coruscant. And we all know what happened on Coruscant. After the Republic fell, Grogu was taken away from the Jedi Temple and hidden by someone, we don't know who, and has been suppressing his powers and force sensitivity over the years to survive.
Sad. It's
Yeah,
really.
it's really sad. So Ahsoka tries to, there's like a little training sequence, and then she realizes that Grogu is so deeply connected to Mando that separating them might lead him down a dark path. So she's like, "No, I'm not going to train this kid. Sorry. I've seen it happen to the best of us." And then a knife immediately appeared in my chest.
She watched the DVD of The Phantom Menace. She knows what happens.
Yeah. Oh man, especially seeing this after season 7 of Clone Wars killed me. But so she tells Mando to take the baby to another planet where the ruins of a Jedi temple are and to climb to the top where he will choose his path, which I believe is another reference to Japanese cinema. I don't know the name, but I have the image in my head. But it's basically like a baby, and there's a sword and a ball, and the father sitting in front of him, and the baby's supposed to pick one or the other. That's pretty much what Grogu is going to have to do. Ahsoka and Mando then storm the city, kill all the guards, and free all the citizens. And then the coolest thing I've seen in the show so far happens.
Don't forget killing Michael Biehn.
Oh yeah,
you can't skip over that.
No, I was gonna bring up the like Western fight and the samurai fight at the same time.
Totally,
man, that was so cool. Oh man, I recently started watching a lot of Akira Kurosawa, and that just like hit all my buttons. I was like, yeah, this is awesome. And then when Ahsoka defeats the magistrate, she asks her to tell where her master is. Turns out that master
is drumroll, please.
Grand Admiral Thrawn. Ooh, I screamed. Like, out of all the people she could have said, because now this means... this was either a backdoor pilot for something else.
Right.
Or we're going to see potentially live action Thrawn and Ezra, because they were together when they disappeared in Rebels.
Yes. Just a refresher, the Rebels, which takes place years before all of this, ends with Ezra saving everyone by warping into unknown space with Thrawn and his Star Destroyer fleet. Saving everyone, but no one knows where he is.
Or when.
And Rebels kind of ended with Ahsoka going off in search of him. And we don't know where she is in that search at the point we catch up with her in The Mandalorian.
Yeah. So the Rebels, I'm trying to think. Rebels is during the Empire's reign, same time as the original trilogy.
Right, a few years before the Battle of Yavin.
And then Mando takes place 5 years after the fall of the Empire. Mm-hmm. And I did the math the other day. Ahsoka is about 45 years old when we see her in Mando. So mm-hmm. it's been a while.
So she's about the same age as Grogu. And I'm going to mispronounce that.
Yeah. Incessantly. He's 50.
Right. So maybe she just never happened to cross paths with him. Or Yaddle either, apparently, because she doesn't seem to know that Yoda had a female counterpart on the Jedi Council.
I think they said that Yaddle was only on the Jedi Council for 1 year, and it was before Ahsoka came to train.
Okay.
So she never met her. Convenient.
Convenient.
And then after all the battling happens, Mando goes to leave Grogu with Ahsoka, but she's still like, nah. You have to go to the ruins to see if another Jedi will call out to Grogu through the Force. And then they leave for that planet. And now we have a bajillion questions and like two answers.
Well, start with the questions. Where did they get this name from? Of all the names, like of all the names you could pick, did they just pick a bunch of consonants out of a hat? Or was George Lucas gargling one day and Dave Filoni was like, that sounds great.
I see. They had to have had this name when they conceptualized the show.
I'm sure.
Because season one, Jon Favreau was like, yeah, he has a name. I'm just not going to tell you what it is. I assume it's this, unless it changed to this from something else. But I'm still going to call him Baby.
The child, even.
No, they can pry Baby Yoda out of my cold, dead hands.
So we've got to assume that if he was in the Jedi Temple at, you know, the time of the Clone Wars, that Yoda was aware of his existence. So, you know, is it just a coincidence? Is this genuinely Yoda's baby? Is it Yoda's second cousin? Is it like a clone? They mentioned that they didn't think it was a strand cast, which would seem to rule out a clone of Yoda.
Yeah.
But it would seem awfully odd for there to be no link between the characters.
I was wondering this too, And Josh and I were talking. He thinks that Grogu is the son of Yoda and Yaddle. He's like convinced.
I was going to say, when you only have two creatures of the same species in the whole known universe, and then suddenly there's a third. I mean, maybe a green stork brought him. I don't
What I want to know
know.
is, so he was training in Coruscant. We have to assume that he was around when Anakin decided to do the thing. So who got him out of there and hid him away is what I want to know.
My guess would be the unnamed old lady who's like the keeper of the Jedi archives in the temple. She's got a cameo in episode 2, and then in episode 3, she's the one who leads Obi-Wan, helps him figure something out, or maybe that's episode 2. I don't know. But she's the only like parental authority figure that we ever see around the younglings. So that would be my guess, and I don't even know her name.
And then how did he go from wherever they hid him to where Mando found him?
I'm sure we will have an entire Marvel Comics series explaining
I'll
that small
read
detail.
it. And then when he goes to the temple on Tython to reach out with the Force, who's going to answer?
That's a great
Because the
question.
only Jedi that are around now, besides Ahsoka, are Luke, Leia, because she started training after the fall of the Empire, Cal Kestis, if he is still alive, and Ezra.
Yeah, I
Unless I've
mean,
missed any.
I would love to see Ezra come into live action. But like you said, it almost seems like they're setting up a spin-off series involving those rebel characters. I don't know. Can we even think about the idea of bringing Luke Skywalker into live action TV? Because obviously it couldn't be played by Mark Hamill.
I
Unless
am.
I don't know, maybe we do CGI de-aging on him, but
People have fan cast Sebastian Stan.
I think Mark Hamill himself has said in interviews that he would make a good young or younger Luke Skywalker.
But I'm so conflicted on whether I want the Skywalkers to be in this show or not.
Yeah, you know, it's kind of nice the way Mandalorian has said that you can showed that you can have a good Star Wars story without it revolving around the Skywalkers. But you know, once you bring Ahsoka in and you bring someone who may or may not be related to Yoda, ultimately everything in this galaxy seems to tie back together again.
I think my main concern is, and I'm gonna connect two dots that might be a reach, so
Go
buckle
for it.
up. Okay, so if they
Fan
bring
theory, we will break the internet with this one.
if Grogu reaches out and Luke answers and comes looking for him, I can only assume that down the line Luke will take Grogu to train at his own temple. And we know what happens to that temple and what happens to some of, we don't know if all of them, but a good majority of those students all died. And that's bad.
Folks, we want to now see fan art depicting Kylo Ren killing baby Yoda.
Please
This is
don't.
this
Please don't.
As graphically as possible, please send it directly to Brittany.
I don't want it. Don't do Ben
Fill
Solo that
her
way.
news feeds with
Yes.
nightmare fuel.
Ben Solo has suffered enough. Please don't make him kill Baby Yoda too. That's something I've been thinking about. I was like, please just let it be anyone but Luke, because Luke is going to take him to his own temple and train him, and he's gonna die, and it's gonna be really sad. That's pretty much just like the whole reason why I don't want the Skywalkers to come in, because we know how their story ends, and it is sad. And I don't want that. Mando is fun, monster of the week style, and I love that. And just don't
Well,
do
I mean, no matter what, the ending of Mandalorian has to be sad because, you know, ultimately, if Baby Yoda, I'm going to keep calling him that too,
it.
finds his destiny, finds a Jedi teacher, goes off. He's got to leave Mando eventually. And I just want the two of them to have like a sitcom where they, you know, set up housekeeping in a nice little hovel somewhere. And, you know, Carl Weathers can stop by for a beer or some fermented blue juice, whatever that stuff is. And, you know, they can just have wacky little domestic adventures every week. You know, let the rest of the galaxy go to heck. Forget about the Empire. Forget about the Darksaber. I just want a little cozy sitcom with Mando and Baby Yoda.
I mean, Navarro looks pretty good right now from last week's episode. But a lot of potential with this week's episode. What are your thoughts on Rosario Dawson as Ahsoka?
At first, Ashley Eckstein, you know, created this character. She's done such great things with it and with the whole fandom that built up around it. But I think Rosario knocked it out of the park. And I think she got the physicality, the intensity. The voice isn't the same, but I'll get over that. The head tails are a little shorter, but you know, you try doing combat with head tails that reach down past your boobs. It does not work.
No, I would accidentally hit someone or myself in the face with those.
I really thought it was a good piece of casting.
Yeah, I agree. She looked great. I almost thought her voice sounded kind of like a mature Ahsoka. Like if I, in my brain, actively separated Ashley from the character, and I thought, well, what would Ahsoka sound like at 45, grizzled, like after a bunch of fighting and rebel things? It would sound a little deeper, a bit more reserved. So I bought it.
Yeah.
She did. You could tell that she really practiced Ahsoka's signature moves with those.
Oh yeah, groups. After she loses the lightsaber and then she switches the other one around to the reversed grip that she uses during the early seasons.
Oh yeah,
that was so cool.
And can I also just say that the lightsabers in this episode are the best that they've ever looked in recent history. I thought they looked incredible.
Have we always known that Beskar is like completely impervious to lightsabers?
No, I think that's new.
Usually the only thing that can deflect a lightsaber is like a vibroblade. Because that's got, an energy source that's repelling the lightsaber. But I didn't realize Beskar was so strong that it can not just only shrug off a blaster hit, but you can even just like wail away with a lightsaber and nothing happens. That's pretty amazing.
Well, I have something to propose for you then. The Dark Troopers that
Moff Gideon.
Moff Gideon. I was just going to say Giancarlo Esposito. He's working on. What if their armor is made out of Beskar?
That is a distinct possibility. And then I think Mando is in big trouble.
Yep.
For sure. Yeah, that would not be a good development for them.
No, sir. I thought Rosario was great. Of course, it is hard to see someone be Ahsoka that isn't Ashley. Mm-hmm. But it's like seeing Alden Ehrenreich be Han Solo and not Harrison Ford.
I would say that it is an improvement over that experience.
I liked it.
It didn't ruin Solo for me, but it distracted me. Since this is the first time I've ever seen Ahsoka in live action, I think I could accept it more easily.
Yeah. I'll be very interested to see who they cast as Thrawn.
Thrawn, yes.
Ezra, if they go live action, because I've heard rumors that they're going with animation for a Rebels sequel. But I would like to see it in live action. At least give Rahul Kohli from Bly Manor Ezra. Just let him have it. He wants it so bad. Just let him do it. He tweets like every other day about it. But with Thrawn, I've seen people say Tom Hiddleston. because he's already in.
He's already on contract.
Benedict Cumberbatch, who would be great and terrifying. Man, I really like Michael Fassbender, and I wish that he wasn't in Rise of Skywalker, but Richard E. Grant would be.
Oh, yeah. I think those are all great choices, but I think that representation is important, and I think it's important that they find someone with naturally blue skin.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. 'Cause I'm tired of blue face in movies, like after the Avatar films.
I was just going to say, you probably hate Avatar, don't you? But, yeah, this episode was a lot. It is very divisive on social media, if you have not looked. I really enjoyed
everything. Puppies are divisive on social media. And there's always going to be someone who hates everything good. But, man, if you're at all a Star Wars fan and you didn't squeal at least a couple times during that episode, something's wrong with you. Check your pulse, you know?
It just makes me more excited because it feels like Mando is a place for Dave Filoni to kind of get some chops with directing live action, to position him for a higher up kind of creative opportunity down the line. At least that's just me like manifesting into the universe that I want Jon Favreau and Dave Filoni in charge of everything forever.
Well, I feel like Dave Filoni is kind of like, he can channel George Lucas's brain, but can also turn off some of his worst instincts and edit them out. And sort of he's sort of halfway between the creator and the fan, where he grew up with this and he knows what the parts of Star Wars that really make people love it are.
Yeah.
And know which those parts that George Lucas seemed kind of obsessed with that maybe we can, you know, not. I'm just glad that they didn't. The other episode that they didn't come right out and say midichlorians. I'm happier with just talking about M counts. That's fine. You know what? Because it's a good way of splitting the difference. I'm happy with that.
When they did that, I was like, what? And then I rewound it, turned captions on, and I was like, midichlorians! Oh my God, they're doing it. I could not believe that they are bringing that back. Jon Favreau and Dave Filoni said prequels rights. They have them. Deal with it. But man, this episode was so much fun. If you're not watching The Mandalorian on Disney Plus, what are you even doing?
There's really no other reason to have a Disney Plus subscription, is there? Come on.
The only thing I watch on Disney Plus besides the zoo shows. I really like those. And for this week's topic of the show.
Yes. Big news.
The big news. Some sad news. Disneyland Paris is going to stay closed until February 12th, 2021, at least.
I think a reopening at the beginning of April is probably more likely, to be honest. And you know, it is sad, especially for, you know, all the employees. Though France has a real social safety net, so the people who are furloughed will still get their health care and be able to pay their rent and will not be evicted. So that's a good thing. But, you know, it was always kind of strange that they were shutting the park down and they thought they were just going to reopen around Christmas week.
Yeah.
It always seemed like kind of a strange plan to start with. So I wasn't shocked when they said that they were just going to stay closed through Christmas. But it is, you know, a huge financial blow for Disney, and they cited it as one of the reasons why the layoffs that they've announced turns out going to be even 4,000 people more than they originally announced, looking at well over 30,000 people total who are going to be out of work by the end of the fiscal quarter. So definitely not good news.
No. And it's tough because they had just announced all of their holiday offerings that they had planned to do, showed off all of the holiday merchandise, some of which made its way to Epcot, in the AP store. It's really unfortunate, and it makes me wonder, and We are not experts. Let me preface this. We are not medical experts. I am not a doctor.
Not a doctor.
I don't like shots. I don't know anything about anything except theme parks and video games. But it makes me wonder what the theme park situation will be like once this magical vaccine rolls out, you know? Are we going to see more parks close or see all of them reopen and be like, hey, you have to be vaccinated to come? I think that's it. I just wonder, like, what is the light at the end of this tunnel?
Yeah. I mean, the good news is that we now seem to have at least three major vaccine trials with really promising results. You know, it's not going to be tomorrow. It's not going to be next week. But I'm thinking by springtime, at least here in the United States, it's going to be pretty widely available to the, you know, first responders, kind of people who are most vulnerable, and then increasingly available to just the general population. I think it's going to be a bad winter. I think it's going to be a real bad winter all over.
This year? Or next?
Yeah, I mean, well, going into, you know, January, February of this year. But, you know, spring, we might see a little ray of sunshine. I really think that summer 2021 could be one of the theme park industry's biggest years ever based on pent-up demand if the, you know, the best case scenario for the vaccines holds true. I think it could be great. We've got a lot of big attractions opening up. We've got in the start, the warm up to the 50th anniversary for Walt Disney World, and you know, people who have been cooped up inside for a year, they're going to want to travel and be out. The real question is, how do we enforce? How do we maintain safety? The vaccine is not like everyone's going to wake up with it in their mailbox one day and everyone's going to be instantaneously deemed safe.
Right.
Are we going to have to carry around a card or have a thing on our smartphone that demonstrates that we've had our shots?
I was talking about this today, and the more things I thought of, the more dystopian it felt. Like a wristband that says that we're vaccinated, or like a card
tattoo on your forehead,
wallet, a microchip in the back of your neck. Over in China, when they first opened up Shanghai Disneyland, they had a QR code on their phone that was basically a clean bill of health that they had to get scanned.
Yes.
Once before they entered the park, in addition to the temperature screening and da 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 da. So. Yeah. I could see that happening, but that would require mandates from the government, like national and state level.
Yeah, I think it's going to be awkward, and there's probably going to be a lot of debate and a lot of stress. If you think arguments about masks were bad, wait until you see if there's arguments over proving you had the vaccine.
Oh, God.
But I think that'll be a short-term thing. I think that in a matter of months, if we can get the vaccine out to enough of the population to achieve herd immunity, then you don't have to worry about whether an individual person has it. If a certain amount of the population has it, then we can pretty much go back to normal or something close to normal. You know, I think a lot of these habits are just going to stick with us, because I personally don't want to ever be shoved in a queue right up against anyone. And I don't want to be told, please make sure to stay up against the party ahead of you. And, you know, I like things being a little distanced. I don't want us to lose all of the kind of precautions and the ideas that we've come up with. And it's going to be a gradual process. I don't think we can just say, all right, as of this date, everything's just fine. It's going to be piece by piece, and it took us a while to get into this, and it's going to take a while to get out of it.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree. I think more than anything, I just want to see if it is even possible, all of those people who were laid off at Disney and Universal to get called back to work because a lot of their contracts give them until 2022, I think, to get called back to work.
And I think what will be important is as things start going back to normal, as a guest, you know, right now we forgive a lot of the theme parks. You know, we go in expecting that, you know, the shows that we know aren't there, the fireworks aren't there, and we understand. But once things start getting back to normal and it's safe to bring those things back, it's important that guests, you know, express their preferences and vote with their dollars and go to City Hall and say, you know, I want the Dapper Dans here. You know, I want the stage shows. I want the Citizens of Hollywood back. Because I think it would be all too easy after this all blows over for the theme parks to say, well, as long as the rides are here, people don't seem to care as much about the entertainment. Or people, you know, people are happy enough. We don't need as many Imagineers to build new attractions. And I think it's important for the consumers to say, no, you know, we let you get away with giving an inferior product during the pandemic because we knew it was, you know, it was 2020 and that's the best we could do. But 2020 is over, and it's, if you're going to charge these prices, you've got to go back to providing the quality and supporting your employees, you know, the way that you've got the reputation for doing.
Yep. And they listen. Yep. They see every tweet. They print it out and put it in a folder. Yep. They keep them. They see them.
Fill out those guest surveys, you know, write those letters, and vote with your money, most importantly. Yep. You know, let the parks know the employees put themselves on the line for, you know, the parks, and it's time for the parks to step up and do the same and bring as many people back as early as they can, I think.
Hear, hear. That's our stance. We're sticking to it. Are you fired up now?
I am. And now we're at the end of the show, so I have nowhere to go with it.
Well, before we go, I'd like to give a few listener shout-outs. If you don't know, Attractions Magazine has a 3-tier subscription plan where you can pick whichever tier fits for you. And if you pick Club or VIP, the week after you sign up, you get a shout-out on Attractions Podcast. So, without further ado, give a big round of digital applause to Bryson Singleton, Randy Briggs, and Anthony Maynard. Thank you so, so much.
Thank you.
We really appreciate it. You help keep this thing going. I hope you like our crazy rantings about lightsabers and theme parks.
is there an address where people can call in to complain about this podcast?
I could probably...
No, I'm just making sure that
No, I could set up a Google Voice number.
Oh, no, it's not necessary. We don't want to give them opportunities.
I wonder what they would say. If you are interested, our winter issue is coming soon. Winter is coming to your mailbox. If you are interested, keep an eye on attractionsmagazine.com/store, and you'll be able to pick one up there. And if you would, Seth, before we go, tell everybody where they can find you on the interwebs.
You can find me on Twitter and Instagram at S. Kuberski or at the UG Series, and find our blog at theunofficialguides.com.
And you can find me at Brittany Tuttle. That's BRITTANITUTTLE. Yes, it's spelled funny. On Twitter and Instagram every day at attractionsmagazine.com, at attractions on Twitter, at attractionsmagazine on Instagram, and of course, youtube.com/attractionsmagazine, where you're watching this right now if you're with us during our video recording. Hello. How are you? And until next week, I hope you guys stay safe, wear your mask, wash your hands, but most of all, have fun. And please watch The Mandalorian. We only have 3 episodes left, and then who knows how long it'll be before season 3.
But WandaVision is coming, so it's okay.
Oh, yeah. Can't wait.
Bye.